Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is coming from our gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Well, a few years ago, I had a blind pastor come to the church and come in and preach, and he called me up and said that he was going to be in town, and they were having a conference there in Savannah, and so they decided that he was like, while he was there, he'd like to give opportunity to come over to the church and, you know, make a little presentation about blind folks and that kind of thing. It's kind of like what we had right here with Alexandria. You know, it's like, how are you going to learn about a ministry unless somebody comes in and shares that? So that's what he was doing. And so as he came in, he said that it's like, well, if you have me come, I'll preach for you at no cost to the church. Well, at that point in time, I said, sure, okay, I'm not going to pay anything, so it'll be all right. Have him come in. And he also said, it's like, you know, in addition to preaching, it's like, I'd like to help out with communion. I'm like, really? He's like, sure, I can do that. I'm like, all right. So when he came over here, and I'm thinking, well, it's like, you know, that's got to be challenging, because the area that we had, it's a little bit different than this. It was a kind of an open area, and you had to walk around the altar. So you had two different tables. So one had about 12 people that you could have over here, 12 on the other side. And so then he would have to walk all the way around. So he goes, now I want you to lead me around the altar area. I'm like, okay. Now, I'd done that before. And when I was in high school, I had an English teacher who was blind, and so whenever she wanted to have you walk around the school or take her somewhere, she'd just have you walk, and she'd hold on to your arm, your elbow. Now, he could do that, but he preferred to have his hand on my shoulder. So what I did then is that I walked him around the altar area, and it had some steps. So when he, you know, he had his hand on my shoulder, when he felt me go down a step, well, my shoulder went down, so he's getting a mental image of this. So we walked around it three times. And again, it was so he could get a mental image of what the altar area was like. So we went through this, did that three times, and sure enough, he was the one who held the host. He handed out the bread, and I followed up with the wine. Did just fine. Now I asked him, it's like, how did you get to this point where you're so comfortable being a pastor and you're blind? And he goes, well, I wasn't always blind. By the age of 7, I had gotten a disease that was incurable. They couldn't do anything about it. And he goes, I lost my eyesight at age 7. But my father, well, he made sure that, well, that I knew how to do things, make sure that I would learn on my own. And so from an early age, from age 7, he made me learn everything, to walk places, go places, and those kinds of things. And I was just fascinated by all this, that he learned so much from an early age. But I also asked him, I said, you know, I'm really curious here. What's something that you have an advantage over somebody who can see with you being blind? And he thought about it for a minute, and he goes, well, there was one something that my wife pointed out to me that I have an advantage over her being blind. And really? I go, what's that? He goes, well, when our children were born, you know, you take time in the middle of the night, take turns there about who gets up in the middle of the night to feed the baby and change them and that kind of thing. My wife pointed out that I could always get our daughter to sleep faster than she could. I'm like, really? Why? And he goes, think about it. I never have to turn on the lights. Well, his wife was very jealous about all that, but, you know, why talk about somebody who's blind here when we're talking about our gospel reading here for today? Well, it helps us get a better handle, quite frankly, on what Jesus is sharing with us. And so I want to read a couple verses here for you this morning as Jesus begins. At this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Now again, why use the blind man as an example? Well, consider this. Sometimes you have things that are right in front of you, and even though you see them, you don't get it. You don't know what it's about. You're still in the dark. And as some folks might say, you shed a little bit of light on it there, and you get better understanding. Now sometimes you're in the dark, and if no one explains it to you, well, you stay there. And if you stay in the dark long enough, you don't care if anybody explains it to you or not. Why? Because you get used to the annoyance that's in front of you. Take, for instance, what Jesus is doing. He's offering up a prayer of thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. And he's thanking the Father here that he has hidden these things from the wise and understanding people. Now, what exactly is Jesus talking about? Well, if you go back a few verses in Matthew, and even a couple chapters before in Matthew, you have Jesus doing some things. Healing people. Two men who were blind received their sight. He brought a little girl back from the dead. Somebody who was deaf could hear and speak. All of these things here are all signs. If you know your Old Testament, you know that these signs of people who have their sight returned, their lame walk, you know, deaf people hear, the dead are raised, are all signs that point that the Messiah was there. Only a Messiah could do those kinds of things. Now, when you think about it, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those kinds of folks there should have understood all of these things that Jesus was doing. However, these groups of people, the wise and understanding here, they didn't get it. They didn't get it at all. In fact, rather what they were doing there is they were feeling threatened by Jesus. And so what were they doing? They were working on trying to destroy him, to try and kill him. They didn't get it. Even though it was right there in front of their eyes, they should have understood all these things that Jesus was doing. They didn't get it. It's kind of like me watching hockey, you know. I don't understand the rules. And if I sit there and watch a game, I don't know what they're doing and what's an infraction and what's not. I don't get it. Even though it's right there in front of me, they didn't get it either. And so what was happening then? They just thought Jesus was a blasphemer, claiming to be God. Now, granted, it still sounds kind of awkward here that Jesus is thanking God that these things have been hidden from them. But what exactly is happening here? They were rejecting the Messiah, and they were being judged on earth for their lack of faith. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, John, in his gospel, chapter 1, he put it another way. He said this, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him." They didn't get it. Again, instead of turning to Jesus as Savior, they're out there trying to kill him. And so they'd strayed so far from God by this point in time that they didn't even recognize the signs that God said, this is what the Messiah is going to do. That's how you know he's going to be there. And they didn't understand it. Hence, they're being judged. But John also continues in the next verse right after that, verse 12. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This is what Jesus means when he thanks the Heavenly Father that the news, who he is, has been made known to little children. John and Matthew here are talking about how the little ones, the little children here, they are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And so the family of God here, the family of Jesus, then, as he says, well, it's like, you know, here's my mother, my brother, my sister. All those who have faith, they are the ones who are part of this family here. They're the ones who were called little children, and he gives thanks for them. And so specifically, who is Jesus referring to here? Namely, his disciples. They're the ones who have understood and have believed. They have their eyes open and follow Jesus. Now, this is how Jesus says it in our lesson today. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Again, this is another way of those who he calls little children are the ones who have faith. So, what happens when we are called? Well, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." Well, Jesus wants us to follow him. He gets the fast-paced life that we have, working hard, getting caught up in the things of the world, all things in which we understand and put our priorities on, and all the cares of striving to get ahead. And sometimes those things that we work on to try and get ahead, well, they end up being distractions to us, the daily struggles and hurts. And so all of these strifes then that we experience start to cloud our mind and our thoughts, and keep us away from thanking our God for all the blessings that He's given to us. Well, ultimately, those sources of strife ruin our relationship with God. And so we go at it, and we start to struggle a little bit more on our own, thinking that, well, I can do it, I can lighten my own load, but really, we can't. You know, it's kind of like how we start to putting on appearances here about being a Christian, that our lives are great when the reality is it's not. We want to make sure no one sees our sins, then we want to make sure no one sees our struggles. And so we struggle all the more and end up adding more burdens to ourselves. Sin has a way of getting thick and sticky. Think of it this way. Ever walk through a muddy field? Okay? You're walking through there, and so that mud starts to get to your shoes and to your boots. And so your feet start getting heavy. And so as you pick up your feet, you've got all that mud sticking around your boots and shoes and that kind of thing. And so you start shaking your foot trying to get it off, and it doesn't come off. And so you start kicking your feet. Next thing you know, your shoe goes flying off, and there you are, standing with one foot and your sock in the other, and you're still in the mud, and it's still all over. You see, sin has that way about being a part of us. It's sticky. We can't get rid of it. We can't shake free of it. And that's when we hear Jesus calling to us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, Jesus is saying here, drop your burdens, drop the charade of trying to look good on your own. I know you are a sinner. And that's when we realize that, you know, we are sinners, and we have need of a Savior. And while we know in our hearts that Jesus died and rose for us, we still get the idea that we can lighten our own loads. It just doesn't work. But Jesus did it for us. He really did die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He really rose from the grave, giving us hope. You see, Jesus gives us forgiveness and hope of everlasting life. That is what makes our load lighter. So, think of it this way. When Jesus is saying that his yoke is light, well, he's inviting us to walk with him. That's exactly what he's doing. You see, we need to grab hold of Jesus' elbow or put our hand on his shoulder. You see, the only thing that we have the real authority to do is to walk away from Jesus. And sometimes we do that. And we need to take that reminder as Christians. We need this kind of reminder here that, you know, yeah, while we walk away, we might think that that's a good idea. It's not. We're just walking away from our Savior. Because, you see, when we have hold of his elbow and we have our hand on his shoulder, he's the one who's leading us. And that's when we need to be like little children. Ask yourselves these questions. Who gives us forgiveness? Jesus. Who gives us life? It's Jesus. Simple questions, direct answers, just like little children. So trust him, love him, serve him. That's what makes the load lighter. That's what he wants us to do always. You're sitting there looking for a lighter load, looking for peace in your life? Think about this. It's right there in front of you the whole time. It's all about Jesus and what he's done for us. So turn to him, love him, serve him. Indeed, he is there for you now and always. Why? Because it's the faith that you already have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.